Good evening and welcome. Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoyed your dinner tonight. Brought to you by the many hands of Faith Bridge Church. Cookies, sugar, caffeine, doesn't get much better, does it? Well, tonight we're going to have a great time celebrating and looking towards the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we sing some familiar carols and we hear a message from God's Word, we light some candles, and we might just have a little bit of fun on the way doing it. So with that, let's pray, and then we will begin. Father, we thank you for this Christmas Eve that we gather together in the name of Jesus to celebrate, Lord, your coming. You're coming to the earth not as a conquering king, not as a warrior, but as a servant. The most lowly of servants, born as a baby in a manger in a town of Bethlehem. And God, you took the first step to restore that which was broken, being wrapped in flesh. And so, Lord, as we sing, as we contemplate, as we consider, as we come before you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our hearts and minds. Draw us close to you and close to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Man, now, look, I know I've heard y'all sing, so I'm expecting some good stuff tonight. You guys look amazing, and I know, like I said, I've heard you guys do this before. So, man, I'm just going to start us, and we're going to sing together. Can we do that tonight? All right, you guys are going to know these so well, so here we go.
Joy for all ye nations.
Yeah. You guys have a seat. Check this video out.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry. And then the angel disappeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have what? What's your name? I can't say your name. Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. You will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, the angel said, "A new baby is given born, who is king of the Jews." The angel was singing.
Star, it's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, a temple one, they have a home.
Some diapers, and some wine, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold rings and armor.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too sticky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room is very small. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. That I said.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Thank you to Southland Church for that production. I told you we'd have a little bit of fun tonight. But as humorous as that video is, it doesn't capture the seriousness as to why Jesus was born in a manger. And throughout this Advent season, we've been lighting candles that represent hope, peace, joy, and love. Each symbolizing a characteristic, an aspect of God's love and his promise to us through sending us his son. And the most important candle is the one that stands central and above all of the other candles, and that candle represents Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. On this eve of Jesus' birth, we come to celebrate and to remember that the time of waiting for hope, for peace, for joy, for love is over. For Christ our Savior is born, and he is the light of the world. Amen? I'd like to take a few moments to reflect on these things. For many of us, Christmas is a season where we spend with time with family. We focus on traditions and sometimes on Jesus, but there's so much many warm memories that are wrapped up in Christmas. That's true for me. How about you guys? You know, I remember thinking back, I used to travel down south to Southern California where my grandparents lived, and I always loved because I knew as soon as we pulled out, it was about an eight-hour drive, and we had a 1980 Chevy Cheyenne four-wheel drive with a camper, or you would call it a topper. And guess where I got to hang out? In the back. Totally safe, right?
Yeah, right.
But I knew that as soon as we got to my grandparents' house, you know, the decorations and all of the smells and the sounds, all of those things, let me know that Christmas was here. But in the midst of all of the hustle and bustle of shopping, of preparation, the lights and the decorations, the smell of cookies and pies baking in the oven, there is a darker side to Christmas. See, Matthew in his gospel, Matthew chapter 2, he tells us that after King Herod realized that he had been tricked by the wise men from the east, out of his fury, he ordered that all of the male babies in and around Bethlehem, aged 2 years old and younger, be killed. So in contrast to the glory which surrounded the proclamation by the heavenly host to the shepherds that the Messiah was born, the darkness of death shadowed Jesus' coming. Herod's command that day is a stark reminder of why the world needs a Savior in the first place. Whatever you might believe or not believe about the existence of God, you cannot deny that evil exists in the world. The Bible calls that evil sin. And friends, sin is a reality. Another reality, whether we choose to accept it or not, is that God does in fact exist. Amen? He is real, and our belief or disbelief does not change that fact. And the existence of sin and evil and death is in the world is heartbreaking to God. God is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all life. And he has given each one of us, you and I, the freedom to choose how we will live our lives. And unfortunately for us, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they chose poorly. Rather than choosing to trust God and to obey his command, they decided that they would trust themselves and reject God's purpose and plan. The result of that disobedience is that sin entered into the world and severed the relationship between God and humanity. And honestly, at that moment, God could have washed his hands of the whole thing, right then and there. And actually, none of us would have known any different because none of us would have been there to care. But that's not what God chose. In spite of Adam and Eve's rebellion and disobedience, God loved them. After all, they were the only thing in all of creation that had been created in his image. And because God loved Adam and Eve just as a father loves his own children, God disciplined them and he banished them from the Garden of Eden, which is the consequence for their disobedience. But so deep is the Father's love for his children, their punishment was not without a promise. Amen? And that promise was that God would not destroy humanity as it deserved, but rather he would redeem it and restore it. And so here we are today. We are the heirs to the consequence and punishment of our first parents, Adam and Eve, which is to be separated from God, spiritually speaking. The truth and the reality is that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is no one righteous. No, not one. And that means that apart from God, we cannot live the life that God created us to live. And though we might try to rationalize or justify our behavior or our morality, in our hearts we know, if we're really honest, that we really do miss the mark. And that's really all that sin is. It's missing the mark. And it affects each and every one of us. None of us will ever be good enough to hit that mark, even though we might try and try and try. Because we miss the mark, the result is that we are lost in darkness forever. But, and there's always a good but in God's promise, darkness is not the end. Death is not the end. The good news, the beautiful news, is that rather than washing his hands of us and letting us suffer an eternity of separation from him, God sent his son, Jesus, to bring us hope, to bring us peace, to bring us joy, and to bring us love. The hope we have through Christ is that our sins are forgiven, and that we can have a relationship with the God who created us and the relationship that God created us to have with him. This is the purpose of redemption. Not only that, Jesus came to give us peace. In fact, Jesus is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And through Christ and through Christ alone, the finished work that he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection, which we celebrated this morning, we can come before the throne of God freely and without fear, because through Christ, we're no longer enemies of God, but children. Thirdly, Jesus came to restore our joy. God does not just want us to be happy, which is contingent upon our circumstances and whether things are going well or not. But God wants us to be filled with joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy that comes from a security and a deep knowledge that our life in Christ is secure. See, God sent his son for the redemption of humanity. It's the most exciting thing in eternity since creation. Just as it gives us immeasurable joy to give to our own children, it brings God even more joy to give to us. And God desires for each of us to share in that joy, the joy of our salvation. And lastly, Jesus came as a result of the Father's love for us. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The Son of God became a man so that men can become the sons of God." This is God's ultimate demonstration of his love for us. Keep in mind that he could have destroyed his creation and started all over, but he chose not to. And the reason I know this is because we are still here. Amen? Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. There is nothing that you or I could do to make God love us more than he already does, more than he has already demonstrated through sending us Christ, his son. We do not earn God's love by how good we think we are or how hard we work, but his love is a gift for us simply to accept and to receive. And that's what it really comes down to. And at the end of it all, there's really only two choices. We can either accept the reality of God's love through Jesus Christ and choose to receive it, and thereby allowing Jesus his rightful place as our Savior and Lord, or we can reject God's love and his grace and continue living our life as the master of our own destiny. But if that's the choice we make, we really are going to be separated from him for eternity. You see, there are consequences for either decision we make, but the choice really is up to you. It really is up to me. We live in dark times, and we're reminded of that every single day, aren't we? But the good news is that there is a light that shines from eternity that is drawing each one of us to itself, and that light is Christ. So I invite you to come into that light that dawned over 2,000 years ago in that manger in Bethlehem. And as I mentioned earlier, Christmas is a time of cherished memories, of spending time with our family, with our friends, the ones that we love. It's a time that can bring us together, and it's a time that reminds us that the individual stories of our lives are connected to a much larger, a much grander story, a story that began at creation. But most of all, Christmas is an invitation for you and for me to join some shepherds, an angelic host, and a young couple with some farm animals to look inside a lonely manger. And there, as we behold the glory of the newborn King, we can offer to Christ the Savior all of our burdens, all of our guilt, all of our insecurity, all of our hopes and dreams, and receive from him the forgiveness of our sin and the gift of hope for eternal life, the peace that we have with God through Jesus, the joy of knowing that our sin has been forgiven and that we've been given eternal life, and the love that was unconditionally given for each one of us to take as our own. Men and women, Jesus is the greatest gift that we could possibly want or receive. Do you believe that? Let us continue in our worship this evening.
Oh.
Amen. Yes, please. At this time, I'm going to invite the house lights to be dimmed as we prepare to light candles, so you may be seated. And this is symbolic of Jesus, the light of the world, who came into the world to dispel the darkness that had covered the world, the darkness that was a result of sin. And the beauty of this is it's symbolic. As Jesus came and died on the cross, was resurrected 3 days later according to the scriptures. And as the women and then the brother disciples began proclaiming the good news that Jesus was in fact alive, that gospel spread like fire. And we are the church. We who have received the forgiveness of our sin through the grace of Christ, his death on the cross for us. And so we hold that flame of the gospel. Amen? And we're to continue to carry this with us each and every day, passing it on to the next generation and the next generation and so on until he returns. And church, I look forward, as do you, I'm sure, for his return. Amen? So with that, I'm going to start lighting up front. We have others that will be lighting as well. So as you receive the flame, please pass it down. Let us sing together.
Holy.
I know your candle's getting low, but I want to hear your voices. And let's end it tonight with this right here.
Silent night.
Yeah. Can we give an amen? Come on, church. Amen. Yeah.
Just take a moment and look around before the lights come up. There we go. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful, isn't it? This is what we are called to be. As the church, we say it every Sunday, if you're a regular attender or member of FaithBridge, we say it every Sunday, that we are the what?
Church.
We are the church. We love God and we love others, and we're all in. You see, we have the responsibility as those who have received the light of Christ to bring and bear the light of Christ wherever we go. So that through God's light in us, through his love of a transformed life, we can bring illumination into a dark world. Each and every one of us, as a son or a daughter of God through Christ, is a bearer of that light. Amen? So my encouragement, my exhortation for you and for myself is that we would continue to carry this flame, this light, that will never burn out, because God's love is everlasting. His joy is immeasurable. And that's the freedom we have in Christ. And what a privilege it is it not, to be his light bringers to the world around us. So with that, let's blow out the lights and bring up the house lights. I want to leave you with this from Jude chapter 1, verses 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us tonight. You are dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Merry Christmas.